My pleasure. Pleasure to be here. Am I supposed to be up here? Is this okay? Oh, lovely. It is a pleasure to be with you again. I was here last year, and I may have been here 2 years ago as well, but it's always fun to be here. I enjoy joining this fellowship and appreciate so much how you revere and honor the Lord, His Word, and I can sense His Spirit moving in you, and it's a joy to kind of just hop right in, and it feels like home to come and visit you guys. So I do want to bring you greetings from Camp Susqua. We are beginning the spring season at Camp Susqua, so a number of things are happening. We're getting ready for our spring fellowship or spring family weekend, and that is a busy time when we basically do summer family camp in a weekend, just like we do the winter camps with the kids over the holiday seasons during the early spring, which is often sort of it's kind of a Canadian spring. Very cold, but we still call it Spring Family Weekend. That's coming up soon. We're getting ready for our Work Fellowship Weekend, in which I invite you to that in April, late April. Your family can come and stay at Camp Susqua for free. The only trick is you have to work on projects and help get camp ready for the summer season. So we are in the midst of that. Right now, we are also in the midst of recruiting, so getting our summer staff together, which is a very big deal to us. This is an area in which we feel sort of probably the greatest sense of dependence on God to send us the kids who will minister to the campers. I say kids, young adults, college-age students, 16-year-olds who will be our staff in training. We depend greatly on the Lord to send us this staff. And we see it as probably our chief purpose is to build into them so they can reflect what we have built into them, what God is building into them, to the kids that come as campers. So we are in the midst of that season. We're also recruiting campers, but staff is like the big deal. This is the thing we spend times on Monday mornings in staff meeting really praying about, is the Lord, please send us the right folks. And He has been gracious to do so. We're in our 73rd year at Camp Susqua, and God has blessed us for many years by sending us people to serve and to give His love away to children. And so we're excited about the whole process. I ask you to continue to pray for us in this process. Pray along with us for our staff, particularly for summer staff. And really, as all of these logistics change with school, there's a lot of uncertainty about what the summer is going to look like. What are we going to do with this 2 weeks of school we're taking off? Are we tacking that on to the end of the year? Are we going to let that go, which is also an option? So there's some uncertainty about the very heart and core of what we do in the summer. So we're also praying a lot about that and ask you to pray with us for that as well. But in all things, we are trusting that God is in control, and it's all going to be just fine. And if it's just 1 week, we're going to have a great time sharing the love of Christ in the outdoors with kids this summer. So we're not super worried about it because we're trusting in the Lord, but we do want to bring our concerns to Him. I received an email today, this past week, from someone. I sent out a mass email, and I received an email back from someone who had not been real connected to Susqua in some time and had some anecdotal things that made him be concerned that, hey, maybe we're straying from what we started out to do. This was someone who was an older person who was a friend of our founder. And as I read his concerns, I thought, wow, you haven't been here in a while. You haven't checked in with us because we're still doing exactly the same things that we started out doing. Our mission is biblical evangelism and growth in Christian character for children, young adults, and their families. And that is exactly what we do. And we are all about that. And so I was able to reply to that person and say, well, you know, we're actually doing exactly what we set out to do in 1947 when the camp began. So I want to assure you as well that we are all about these things. Our tagline at Camp Susqua is experience your creator. So we use the outdoors, the beautiful setting that we've been given and blessed with, to introduce children to their creator, to the maker of it all. And that is, I was going to say it's generally referred to. It is generally referred to as general revelation, the way that God has revealed Himself through what has been made. And Scripture tells us we can learn a lot about God because of that general revelation. But we do not at Camp Susqua stop at general revelation. We spend a lot of time in His Word. And as I opened the Word this morning, this really speaks to the prominence of God's Word and His work in our lives. So I would love for you, if you have a Bible with you, to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to be in the first 11 verses. And I told Jayla Halstead, Jayla is going to be a staff in training this coming summer. And Cody was a staff in training, and Luke was staff in training. Chris Weaver back there was staff in training, but before my period. But this is a passage I go over with the staff in training. And right now, Carrie Hall over here is rolling her eyes because she has been in charge of the staff in training for the last few years, and she has heard me speak about this passage numerous times and will be somewhat, I'm not sure what the emotion will be about hearing, oh, I'm going to hear this talk again. But I always freshen up. I always let the Lord speak to me again about this passage. So Carrie, it might be a little different. I also told Jayla, who's in the nursery, she's not going to miss anything because she's going to get this talk this summer. So 2 Peter chapter 1, let's read that real quick, and I want you to be thinking about this fact that it may not surprise you, given my connection to Camp Susqua, a rustic outdoors camp, that I love to be in the outdoors, and one of my favorite things to do is to backpack, to put everything that I need for my journey on my back and head out into the wilderness. And as I read this passage, I think about how God has packed our bag. God has packed our bag for the journey of life and godliness. And so I want to begin reading here in verse 3. Please forgive me for skipping the first two verses. In verse 3, it says this: His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and goodness, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of evil and sinful desires. For this very reason, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of evil desires. Did I skip a line? So that through them you might become partakers of the divine nature. Forgive me, I am reading this in the ESV, and I have it absolutely hardwired in my brain in the NIV. So as I'm reading this, I'm going back and forth. For this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge self-control, and self-control steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for these words. Lord, I pray that we would give attention to your word this morning in a way that honors you. And we thank you, Father, that you have cared enough to give us everything we need. So, Father, remind us of these things this morning. Challenge us with these things this morning. By your Spirit, open our hearts and minds to what you want to share with us. And Father, I just pray that you would speak your words this morning as we look into this glorious word that you've given us for our benefit, which is always for your glory. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. So, as a backpacker, I became very obsessed with having the right things in my backpack. So, as you go out and pack everything in your backpack, it's important to anticipate everything that you might encounter. And I was a manager of an outdoor store, so I had access to information and all of the things necessary for backpacking and to do it well, to not only survive in the outdoors, but to thrive and to really enjoy it. And I became obsessed with having the right things. I had a room off of my garage with a pegboard wall, and I had all my stuff hanging up there. I had multiples of a lot of different things you would need, so I just choose the exact right one. I had sleeping bags for different temperatures and sleeping pads for different temperatures, tents for different temperatures, places and amounts of people, and all these different things. And I always went through and I had a checklist that was laminated so I could mark it whenever I put these things on. I need this, I put it in my pack, check it off. And I made sure I had everything I needed. It was very important to me. And also, like as as an outdoors person and someone who worked, I also wanted to backpack with style, right? I wanted to make sure that I did this right and did this well, like this was well done. Because, you know, you're going to take a picture and like post this on Instagram. Look at me rocking it in the wilderness. And then you tell those stories when you get back, and it all is a good time. So as we think about the fact that this passage says that God has given us everything we need for life and godliness, my question, if he's packed our bag, so to speak, for this life, is how do I know I can trust what's in the bag? How do I know I can trust that everything I need is actually in there? It is hard to believe, isn't it? I mean, it's easy to read those words, but do you and I want you to just take a quick self-inventory. Do you believe that God has given you everything you need for life and godliness? Thank you for verbally answering. It's a good thing to continue to ask yourself as we think about fear and faith in that continuum right now. If we really believe God has given us everything we need for life and godliness, there's no reason for fear. One of my favorite things about backpacking is getting out of the car and putting my pack on my back, and hiding my keys somewhere, and just walking away from it with enthusiasm and great confidence that I have everything I need right here. And man, let's go have a great time in the wilderness. And this is the effect that having a bag that is packed by God should have on us. So we should have a great confidence in it and an expectation that we have everything we need. Let's charge forward. But how can we know that we can trust what God has packed? It begins by telling us his divine power has given us everything we need. And so we know it's been packed with divine power. This God, the creator of all universe, the creator of us, obviously knows everything we need. He's got divine power. And not only does he know it, he has the power to give it. He can give it to us. As one of my greatest moments of shame in my backpacking career, that's not a thing, a backpacking career, in my backpacking was a time that I had researched and ordered the perfect tent. And I was so excited about having this tent. And I invited my buddy, Matthew, who's like my little brother in Christ, to come and backpack me with this particular weekend, because I knew the tent was going to arrive during that week and we were going to try it out immediately. And I was like telling him all about it. Like I'm sure I was way more excited about it than he was. But he's like, okay, yeah, let's go backpacking. So the tent arrived that week and it was awesome. And I put it in my backpacking room and I went through my checklist and checked everything off, da 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 da. Matthew shows up. We go out to backpack and we get a little late start as usual. And it's supposed to rain that night, but I got a tent, you know, this is no problem. We have everything we need in our pack, right? So we decided to kind of go on a little bit further, a little more into the darkness than we had planned because we got a late start. And as I unshouldered my pack and set it down on the tree, I had this habit of when I put my pack down, everything that's in it flashes through my head. And as I put down my pack that evening, everything flashed through my head that was in it, but not the tent. Not the tent. So I had this new tent, but I put it in my backpacking room, but I didn't put it where my tent usually goes. And so I just, for some reason, forgot the tent. Now that was bad news to me, but I also had to share this bad news to my buddy Matthew. Like, hey, Matthew, funny thing. Remember that tent I told you about? It is awesome. It is also in my garage. And we spent a cold, rainy night huddled up under I had the footprint for it, which is the plastic that goes underneath the tent to protect the water from going up. That we huddled up under that thing. It was miserable. We spent a miserable night. So even I, in all my gear geekedness, forget. Even though I have the right things, sometimes I forget to use them or I forget to take them. I haven't packed my bag correctly. But we do have the assurance that God, in his divine power, never forgets. He never makes mistakes. There's no chance that everything we need is not in the pack that he has packed for us. Now that speaks to his ability to give us what we need. But why does he give it to us? And the passage tells us he gives it to us because of his glory and his goodness. It's his glory and goodness that desires to give us what we need. He not only is able to do it, but he desires our good. And our good brings him glory. If we are flourishing in this world, and we'll find out what the effects of using this pack effectively is later, but that brings him great glory. And so it is his desire to bless us with all the things that are in our pack. So So we can trust it because he has the power to do it, and he has the desire to do what is for our good. Now, even if you didn't trust in the Lord, wouldn't you be interested to know what would be in that pack? Wouldn't you want that pack? If you have even a mild interest in God and who he is in this world, wouldn't you want to know what is in that pack? If God has put everything we need in it? Well, the question remains then, if God has packed it and it has everything we need, what does the pack consist of? What is it? And this passage tells us these truths are all in the first couple of verses. It consists of our knowledge of him, of who God is. And Scripture says this over and over again. The fear of the Lord is what? It's the beginning of wisdom. There's a sense in which you don't know anything until you know who God is. There is no wisdom unless it begins with who God is. And so the essence of what is in our pack is knowledge about God. But it's the knowledge about God that he reveals to us. It's not the God that we want him to be. It's not the God we think he should be. It's not the God that our preconceived notions tell us he should be like. It is the God as he has defined himself. He's told us the things that he wants us to know about him. And therefore, everything he tells us about him is extremely important and cannot be written off simply because we don't like it. We must learn to reckon with the God who is instead of making up a God that satisfies our own wants, needs, and desires. It's a very common phrase. You watch these videos on YouTube or whatever where people are going and talking to people in the general public about Christ or about God or what it means to follow him. You even hear it. I hear it in the church. Well, I can't follow a God like that. I don't believe in a God like that. He's not asking you who you think he should be. He's telling you who he is, and it's up to you to deal with that. That is the knowledge that is helpful. Because if we decide what kind of God we're going to follow, that makes us God, doesn't it? If he is God, then it doesn't matter what we think. But we have diminished God into something that we can manage, that's something we can manipulate and mold to our own satisfaction. And we begin to get the whole picture upside down. He is who he says he was. And that is what is helpful to you. And we must go with what he tells us. The God who has revealed himself in Scripture. J.B. Phillips wrote a book. It's a small book called Your God is Too Small. And unless your vision of God rocks your entire world and turns everything upside down and changes every single decision you make every day, has some effect on it, then you don't know God properly. You don't know God. God is everything. He is the beginning and the source of all wisdom. Without him, there is no wisdom. You will understand everything incorrectly if you don't know God. And that is one of the chief elements of the things that he has packed in our pack for us, that we might know him. That we might correct our view of God, that he might correct our worldview and change the way we think about everything. C.S. Lewis put it this way, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because, does anybody know the end of that quote? Because by it, I see everything else. It makes everything else make sense. Everything is illuminated because of this truth. And we don't see the world rightly until we see it through the lens of who God is. And so that's not the only thing in our pack, knowledge about who God is, but it also says that God has given us very great and precious promises. There are great and precious promises. Not only has God revealed to us who he is, but he has made promises with us. He has made covenants about who he is, what he will do, and how we have a relationship with him. These promises are to inspire us greatly. They are to inform how we live. It says very great and precious promises given us by the Creator. Promises like, and we have to ask ourselves daily, do I believe these promises? Do I live like these promises are true? Do I believe that God loves me and is for me every day? Do I believe that he forgives my sin, all of my sin? and removes it from me. Makes me white as snow. Every single day, his mercies are new every morning. Do we believe this? Do we live like it? Do we believe that we will be raised with him? Do we believe, as Jesus said to Martha, that we will live though we die, and he who lives and believes in me will never die? That's the question Jesus literally posed to Martha and said, do you believe this? Do you believe you will never die? This is a key promise that we sometimes forget. Oh yeah, I will never die. Ron reminded us of that. We need not fear. The worst thing that could happen to us by the world standards is the best thing that could happen to us. We could depart and go be with Jesus. Do we believe that he will make all things new? Not just us, but this world around us, that he is coming again. He's coming with the new city of Jerusalem to restore all things. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Can you imagine the joy that is set before us? Do we really believe he has given us everything we need? Our problem sometimes is that we receive the promises, that we receive the knowledge of God, that we have the pact that he's given us, that sometimes we want to add to it.